This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Oh, how does that work?
I like your voice the way you did that.
Well, I like your voice in this thing. What? I like your voice in Monsters and Aliens. It's very kind of southern and a whole gruff thing going on. Does that come from something where deep inside, or do you know somebody who sounds like that? Or?
No, I think the idea when we were talking, was this guy, this is someone who's been kind of removed from society for some 20-odd, 30 years, because his responsibility is to keep this prison secret, and I think that kind of isolation makes you eccentric, and I thought as a general it would be cool to have him, give him some southern flair, and then we just started messing around with just kind of those keynotes, and there, when I went in to do the first day, there was a visual representation of every character, which is exactly what they look like today. So those kind of elements combined with the way he looked, and we thought that that would be funny, so we messed around with it like that.
It worked really well.
Oh, thank you.
Did you think George C. Scott?
No, but someone else had brought that up. When I heard it, I was... it's actually not even when I heard it. I really like the voice, and so I was goofing around at work, and I did it for someone else, and it was like, and he comes in and he talks like that, and he's like, oh, God damn, you can't do that. And he's like, it's like Yosemite Sam. And I went, oh, no, I can't be doing Yosemite Sam. So I had to pull back a bit on some things, because I didn't want to bring on the fearless free paw-hate rabbits and kind of stay away from that. But I loved those old cartoon voices, and so... But it really, it came out of that, but a few people have brought up George C. Scott, which I'm relieved for.
Reese says how funny you are, and says people don't know how funny you are.
Oh, that's really sweet.
And she thinks you're hilarious. And I just want to know, is that something that you just hide, or is it your personality is such that you don't want to show that?
No, it's not that at all. I hope my friends think I'm funny. But being funny at a dinner with a bunch of friends is a lot different than doing it for a living. When I was in theater school, it wasn't the thing I was most comfortable about. It's very difficult to do a scene where you know on the fourth line someone's got to laugh, and if you don't get them to laugh, you're not doing it. You know, it's an immediate... didn't work. And in the world of drama, there was just I felt more comfortable in. I felt that there was more room to move, and so I just gravitated to doing that kind of work and marvel at the people there. You know, I lived with Robert Downey for 2.5 years, one of the funniest guys on the planet. But he also has this really unique and faith in it, and that's the funny thing. He has this unbelievable faith in his own timing and his own thing. So if he doesn't get you to laugh on the fourth line, he has faith that he'll make you laugh on the fifth or the sixth. And by the time they didn't laugh on the fourth line with me, I was already trying to figure out how to get home. You know, so it's a very different thing. And so something like this animated film for me, which is so much fun, is that I'm not limited by my own physicality. It's just a voice, and the dialogue was wonderful and funny, and just enjoyed the heck out of it.
How did they approach you, and how was the reaction? Is this your first time voiceover?
No, I do.
Animation?
No, I did a film called The Wild a while back. I did a bunch of different dinosaur movies and Land Before Time. You're not going to help me with that, are you?
Land Before Time,
thank you. And a lot of those things, like I did Land Before Time, I did The Nutcracker, I did a bunch of different things, and those were mainly because my youngest daughter was still young enough to kind of go see those things. And I wanted to try and explain to her what I did for a living, or why I would be gone for sometimes 3 or 4 months. And so the way they approached me with this was, we just literally got a call. Would you be interested in doing this kind of film? And then said, obviously, if you're going to do an animated film, there isn't a better person to work with than Mr. Katzenberg. And he understands every aspect of the production, from the development stages to the actual animation to the casting to the promotion to the selling of the film. I mean, all of those are incredibly important. And so the combination of him, I know Reese, and knew that we would be kind of playing opposite each other. And then the way they described the story, I just thought was fantastic. So all of those things combined made it very easy for me to say, yeah, please, I would love to do it.
The director was actually just talking about obsessively watching the DVDs of 24. So that's something we've probably all done. So is this something that the critical acclaim that you've gotten for the prequel? How excited are you about that?
Well, we're relieved. You know, by virtue of the writer's strike and Fox's programming, those things combined kept us off the air for a year and a half. And in a world where there is so much available entertainment and things to do, I mean, I think the television audience in general dropped 40% after the strike and still has not recovered because people went out and found other things to do and went, oh my God, we like these bowling, not such a bad idea. And so to be able to kind of come back and pull numbers that are at least in the ballpark of where you were at before, and to be received as well as we were, just grateful for it because we love making the show, and we, you know, we took a couple hits in the sixth season, and a couple that I thought were very justified, and myself, John Cassar, Howard Gordon, we're competitive guys, and we want another shot to kind of try and make what we think is going to be our perfect season. And so the prequel was a great indication that we might, you know, we could have a shot to kind of pick up where we left off.
I'm not allowed to call my parents when 24 is on, just so you
know. Oh, well, cheers.
How did you get prepared for this character?
For Monsters vs. Aliens?
Just saw movies.
No. It was literally, it was conversations between myself, the directors, hearing what other people, you know, were doing with the character. They would play me some of their stuff back. We as actors, I did not work together with Reese or any of the other actors, which I was disappointed in. But they had a couple different actors coming in that were phenomenal actors that would play three or four characters at the same time so we could get in doing a scene. Because I don't like doing it line for line. I like playing a whole sequence because I think that rhythm is incredibly important. And so it kind of developed off of this, and it wasn't an improv because I'm reading this, you know, I'm reading the script and it's exactly what they wrote. But there is an improv in the texture of the voice between this other actor and myself, and a lot of the stuff that mattered to me was informed to me by him. And he was amazing, and he actually did a very, very cool ginormica, which was, for a man, was pretty cool.
It was difficult because your voice is like not so hard as the character has the voice. So, how difficult did you hurt or something? How, because
no,
he's
it didn't.
Always yelling.
It didn't. You're right, and it didn't actually. I think over the 7 years of doing 24. I think because of the volume and the panic of so much of his dialogue, because I yell quite a lot in that as well, I think I've really strengthened my vocal cords and most importantly, kind of the muscles around them. And I know how dangerous that is because my father did the opposite thing when he was in England right before I was born. He was working on a play where he actually damaged his voice because he pushed it so hard, and it was the opposite thing. And so I think because of 24, because it's kind of been a slow build to that, that I've been really lucky that way. I remember Robert at one point said, you know, do you want to take a break? And I was like, no, I've got to get back, you know, because I was doing 24 when we were doing this, so I had to go back to work. So I wanted to get it done as quickly as we could every time we would meet. And he was always worried that I would go back to 24 and I'd have to talk like that. But it worked out.
Do you have a favorite B-movie monster or from the 50s, 60s B-movies?
I would have to say Killer Tomatoes or the Blob were right in there. And I think one of the things, and it really goes back to what I think is fantastic about films, is this audience's absolute willingness to suspend their disbelief. And there's no way you're going to see The Blob or Invasion of the Killer Tomatoes and not suspend your disbelief. And I think we live in a very kind of cynical world now, and it kind of is really telling of the 50s where, yeah, we're gonna give up, we're gonna have a laugh, we're gonna have a, you know, maybe get scared, it'll be fantastic, it'll be cool. There was this kind of willingness to surrender that kind of stuff then that I think is a little more difficult now.
Yeah.
But certainly something I would do everything I could to encourage in others.
That's what you guys.
I wanted to know, have you wrapped the season of 24 yet?
December 19th, but I'm not counting.
Okay, and I wanted to know, there's a bunch of movies, assuming there's no strike, that are gearing up for January through March. Have you attached yourself to anything?
I have not, and again, I think everything is waiting on this vote in 3 weeks. Because very few have actually gone into pre-production, and so...
Was there anything you're really looking at?
There's a couple things. There's a couple things, obviously, and I can't talk about them, but there is no shortage of really great material, great things that I've read out there.
Mirrors movie? Are you in that?
Mirrors, yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk about that?
It came out... Oh, gosh, yeah. Okay. It's made about $108 million. Around the world. It did about 33 here. It came out 5 months ago, 6 months ago, something like that.
Do you see yourself in your characters because they record, actually videotaped when you were doing voiceover? So in your character, you watch some products. Do you see yourself behavior or some?
I don't see myself. I think someone made a comment that when I was doing the character, I actually got quite animated with my hands and things like that. I mean, as much as we require an audience to come into a movie with their ability to suspend their own disbelief, I think as an actor it's a primary requirement as well. And so in the middle of playing stuff, I often can physically do stuff I'm not even aware of until after. Seeing myself personally in any specific character, no, those are all manipulations of an intellectual kind of perspective of what I think a character, what is required from a character in the context of a story.
Thank you.
Thank you guys very much.